Welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast, a four screen arrows podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heaven's Devils podcast. Among the leaf litter in the shadow of King George VI comes the honorable Heaven's Devils podcast.
I gotta close the window before I record because London don't know how to be quiet.
We are at Buckingham Palace, and Shimmy, the four screen rovers are on our way!
We're on our way!
How we get there, I don't know. How we get there, I don't care. All I know is we are on our way!
To League One,
and to the Her Majesty's
Penitentiary. The Tower of London, yeah.
The Tower of London, surely. We're getting a lot of strange looks out here in front of Buckingham Palace. A lot of people looking at us. But anyway, we don't care, because we are in England. We are on cloud nine, because we just had the best trip in history.
So incredible.
And it's still going on, baby.
Fun don't end. Fun don't stop.
The fun don't stop. Etouffee.
Jambalaya.
Let's quickly. Oh, we are coming at you live right now. In the shadow of the Buckingham Palace. Our audio is, first of all, warning. Our audio is going to be really bad today.
We're outside.
We
are truly among the leaf litter.
Yeah.
Below our feet.
I don't know if you can hear the leaves. You got my laptop all dusty. That's okay. We're recording also on the laptop.
That's real dust, by the way.
We have no mic or recording equipment. So this is old school, really bad quality audio that you've come
to expect.
Yes. Yes. Okay, a little disclaimer here. First of all, Shimmy.
Yeah, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This pod will be containing mostly ravings of two men who have drank way too many beers and ciders, had way too little sleep, and generally don't know what's going on around them.
Yeah, we are.
Where we are, what time it is.
Well, I know we're at Buckingham Palace, I think that's what that is. But
we don't know which side of the road to walk on.
That's definitely true. I've almost been killed 30 times in London because the way you drive here on the opposite side of the road, I'm looking, every single time I cross, I'm looking at the wrong side of the road and a bus is about to hit me. But anyway, I've survived so far.
We've made it.
But point is, this is going to be a little bit of a rambling intro because we're running on fumes, baby.
So very fitting that we're playing the gas on Saturday.
Yeah. Because,
until then, we're just running on fumes.
We're gassed up, but gassed up, baby. Gassed up.
As you can see, this disclaimer has also devolved into the rantings of two
maniacs.
Two exhausted maniacs. But we hope you guys enjoy, and if you take anything from it, just that we love Nailsworth, we love the people of Stroud, we love FGR, and this pod is an ode to that.
Yes, that's the way to sum it up. Thank you guys so much for the best day ever. The best people in the world are in Stroud and Nailsworth.
Let the insanity begin.
All right, here we go. Shimmy, we are in England! England, United Kingdom! We're in London right now, Shimmy. How does it feel to be across the pond? Very good. Perfect. We should do that to announce our guests.
We should, yeah. Every time. Yeah. We'll do it. That'll be the running theme of this episode.
All right. Back to recording.
And you'll say coming. You'll say coming up next.
Perfect. All right. Back to recording. Coming back in. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And on this pod, we have some amazing, amazing guests. We have the Nigerian Nightmare himself. Wait, then I just go through the porn thing. The Royal Horns. Yudoka got one to leave. Hotel, Nathan, and Sham here because we have a little surprise guest as well we didn't even know about. It is... Go ahead, Sham. The Royal Horns are blaring for the People's Champion, Maddie Stevens. He's also on the pod. We didn't know about it. It was a surprise. Let's go. And then next we have... Lucy from Bristol Rovers. She's a massive Bristol Rovers fan. She's also a co-founder of the amazing Her Game 2 movement. Huge shout out to Lucy. Cannot wait to meet her. And then after Lucy, we have... His Royal Majesty, Mad Max, the Gas Man, a massive, massive Bristol Rovers fan, podcaster, newsman, everything. He does it all. He's the Gas Man. He comes from the Bristol Rovers podcast, Gas Cast crew. We had him on before. He's an old friend, new friend. We love this guy, Mad Max, the Gas Man, the Honorable Gas Man, since we're in the UK. And last but not least, Charlie, our guy Charlie, also from Bristol Rovers. We got three Bristol Rovers people on today. It's going to be so fun. We're going to do like a quick little bits with each one. It's going to be jam-packed. With Charlie, he runs this awesome vlog for Bristol Rovers. So we're going to chat with him as well. It's going to be so much fun. Oh, and also, last but not least, shout out to Ashley Fudge. Last but not least, we got...
Jungle Boogie.
We got Kip Kowalski and the Bayou Baby. Tony. This is gonna be anyway, huge show today. Alright, anyway, let's get on to this pod, baby. So first, before we get into all of our amazing guests, we gotta talk about our trip, Shimmy. We are in England, mate, isn't it? Oi! Chris Latham! So way too much has happened on this trip. Including us losing our voices multiple
going
times.
Going on no sleep.
So we'll recite Sham's passport issue. Let's start off Friday. I got here. Nice, easy, quick, 6-hour flight from New York City. Beautiful. I slept a couple hours on the plane. Got here, explored the beautiful city of London. Amazing vegan options, by the way. Saturday, I met up with my boy Tom Carter, who's been amazing to us. Big shout out to Tom.
Brother to Jay-Z, right? Jay-Z.
That's Sean right. Carter. Sean Carter, Tom Carter, baby. Both Brooklyn Nets fans. Anyway, so hung out with Tom, hung out with some friends here in the city. I had a great start to the trip. But what were you doing, Sean, when I was here gallivanting around London? What were you up to?
Oh, nothing. Just taking the scenic route to Nailsworth and to Forest Green. It's been a pandemic. I don't know if you knew about that. There's been this little thing called a pandemic. And so during that entire pandemic period, I happened to not check my passport. Didn't realize until Tuesday night, less than two days before
our flight.
I was supposed to fly out, that my passport had been expired. Yeah, my passport had been expired for over a year. last time I traveled, I had 4 years left of eligibility on that passport. It was good. Life is grand. Yeah, it's going to be a world traveler. Sate my wanderlust, but no, couldn't do it. So I was legally going to be barred from entering the United Kingdom and watching our beloved Forest Green, unless I took matters into my own hands.
And you did. And so where did you end up? How many miles did you travel to get here, Shimmy?
I think we did a little calculation, albeit after a few ciders, and we think it was over 10,000 miles.
Over 10,000 miles, maybe $10,000 as well. Yeah. He went from New York City to Houston, Texas, to El Paso, Texas. Well, before El Paso, he spent the night in the Houston airport because he missed his flight got delayed. Went to El Paso, went to Denver, went back to New York, went to Detroit, and then Detroit to London, and then London took the train here. So he got here on Sunday after a crazy trip, 40-plus hours with no sleep or shower.
Minimal showering.
He's a legend. He is a legend for that.
Well, as Johnny Cash said, I've been everywhere, man.
You have. Anyway, the boy finally made it, man, and we're so happy to because it was the best. It's been the greatest trip ever.
Shout out to Nathan for always being positive. Shout out to my wife, Christina, for the support of and urging me to just try. Take a flight. Just do it. This, you're so looking forward to this trip. So don't let it die. So got to give it to her. And, of course, my guardian angel, Larry.
Yeah, Larry. And Larry, the MVP. Shout out to Christina, man. You spent probably quadruple the amount of money that you originally spent on the trip.
I reversed all the good work that Forest Green Rovers has done in terms of carbon footprint.
Yes, you increased your carbon footprint 200 times. and it shows how much your wife wanted you out of the house for the week.
Yeah. She's can be very annoying, and as listeners may well know.
Go spend an extra several thousand dollars.
Whatever you got to do.
Whatever you got to do. Get out of my house. Anyway, no, huge shout out to your wife, Christina, because, I know... I would have, in your shoes, I would have been so discouraged, and I think she gave you...
I find that hard to believe, Nathan, but I know I was.
Well, I'm also a cheapskate. I'm cheap, I'm not shelling out the money. I'll see him next year. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. I'm just as diehard as Sham. No, I don't know, but your wife, I love that she pushed you forward.
This would not have happened without her.
So yeah.
All credit has to go to her. She was the visionary. She was the vision person. And then Larry Legend made,
Larry
it, happen.
Legend,
made it happen from the angel passport appointment.
From the Houston Passport Customer Service Department. So anyway, Shimmy, let's get on to our time in Gloucestershire. Oh, by the way, did we mention we're in front of the Buckingham Palace right now? Did we?
We are, yeah.
All right, well, we mentioned it again. Why are we here, Shum? Buckingham Palace?
Not to bend the knee, no, because we're Americans.
That's right, we'll never bend the knee.
We haven't done that since good old 76.
We're anti-royal, that's right. Not royals. No. We're here to try to make the guards laugh.
We are. That is the American, every American's dream, is to one day come across the pond, meet a Buckingham Palace guard, and make him laugh.
And so far,
honoring that tradition.
And we're also honoring the tradition that we maintain every single week at failing to do that.
Yeah.
Just like we fail to make
any people laugh.
All right, so back to business here. So anyway, Saturday, Shimmy Bop lands in London Town at 7 in the a.m.
It was Monday.
Monday. Sorry, Monday. Match day Monday. Lands at 7 a.m. London. Takes the train out to Stroud.
Third 11.
What's that?
Got there at 11.
I picked them up by 11:15. Ran back to the hotel. I was so excited for this day.
There was so much anticipation
leading up to this day. Before that, I should say, I came to Stroud on Sunday. Incredible day. Got a beautiful tour of the new lawn. Huge thank you to Connor and Noah for hooking me up with that. It was just surreal. Unbelievable just to see it in person. To see the Fat Tony's billboard. I was awestruck by the Fat Tony's billboard.
It's like seeing the Hollywood sign
It is.
We saw the Fat Tony's billboard.
So, amazing tour. And then Chris Latham took me and Roderick. Shout out to Roderick from the Netherlands who was here. Took us around town. Showed us around Stroud. Showed us Dale Vince's windmill, which is the whole reason we... Not windmill, wind turbine, whatever. The reason that we became fans. In England, though, we've had the greatest time ever. My voice is totally gone. But Friday...
Good sign. It's a good sign.
Friday... oh, my God. This is bad. So Friday, I got to London while Shimmy was still stuck in the airport.
And obviously Nathan smoked two cartons of cigarettes in eager anticipation. So worried was he I wasn't going to make it.
Oh, man. So Friday, I explored London, had an amazing time. Saturday, also explored London, met up with our guy Tom Carter, who, by the way, Tom Carter, his partner Mel, have been the best to us. So huge shout out to them.
Yeah.
So kind to us. But anyway, so hung out with Tom in London, then hung out with some friends in London. And then Sunday, went to Stroud, saw the beautiful sights of Stroud with our man Chris Latham, met up with Roderick, Netherlands international fan, love that man Roderick. And Chris took us around.
Yeah, the Stroopwafel slang.
Oh, Stroopwafeln.
Slang them Stroopwafeln.
Stroopwafeln. Oh, this beautiful. Is if you can Stroopwafeln. Anyway.
Those things kept me alive after an insane journey, so shout out to Roderick.
So yeah, so let's quickly run through our itinerary, then we'll talk about how incredible our day was at Forest Green on Monday. So Sunday we got shown around, or I got shown around. Sean was still in the airport somewhere in the U.S. So Chris Latham, Statman, huge shout to Statman, took me and Roderick around Stroud and Nailsworth, majestic town, Shimmy. We went to the New Lawn where Connor and Noah, dude, huge shout to Connor and Noah, gave us a little private tour of the New Lawn. And I was just starstruck, Shimmy. Starstruck. I was just in awe of the place we've seen for so long. The Fat Tony sign, the
Grundin
sign, the John Deere tractor behind the south or by the south stand. It was like a dream. The TV camera shanty, I saw it all. And the urinals, man, the urinals in there are top class. If you go to the Forest Green for nothing other than trying to pee on the little soccer ball in the urinal, it's incredible. Anyway, that was Sunday. Then we went to Crokey Point or something like that. Crokey Point. Anyway, beautiful. The most beautiful scenery ever. It educated us about the act of dogging, which is something we, when he said, anyway, I'll tell the story. So we go to this place called Coley Viewpoint. It is the most amazing, beautiful view you'll ever see of just like overlooking the valley, overlooking these rolling hills. And it's just like, oh my God, this is magic. And then Chris says, yeah, I actually... When there's Forest Green games, I usually park my car here, and then we carpool with a big group to go to the ground. But he said, one time, I came here, it was a night game, so I came up here to park my car, and all of a sudden, a lot of people start flashing their lights at me and knocking on my window. And then he said, have you guys heard the term dogging? And I was like, no, like it's like people walking dogs?
Yeah. What? Are there hot dog salesmen just roaming Cotswolds? Freelancers?
And so, no, it was none of that. It was, it's people, how should we say, strangers in the night. Looking for, looking for
love.
Love.
And all the, I mean, maybe right places for them.
So it's amazing to see how this beautiful spot is just defiled every night. I love it. Anyway, so we didn't go dogging, but we saw where all the dogging happens. And then we checked out Stroud. It was awesome. And then Monday, man, back to game day, back to match day. Once I scooped up Shimmy, we went home, went back to the hotel, got a quick shower, went to the ground. Oh, it was amazing, man. It was just...
From the first second we were there. I mean, who was there to greet us? Just perfect timing. One, Rob Edwards.
Yeah, as soon as we roll up, there's like Rob Edwards right outside. And we're like, oh, Rob! Oh, he's more handsome in person.
Yeah, right. Insane. Insanely tall. Insanely
beautiful man.
A beautiful man.
Beautiful man. Smells good, too. If you ever get a chance, give him a smell. Awesome. So we met up with him. Met up with Moons right before. Then we walk in, shout out to our man, Midge. That was his name, right? The guy at the stadium.
Smudge, I think.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. We're messing up your name. But that guy, he was amazing. So kind of you. I kill him. We had too many beers. We forgot the name exactly. But that guy was amazing. He took us around. He took us in to the director's box where we met Hammerin, Hank, Henry, and
Stalins.
Yeah, Henry Stalins, the boss man. We got to hang out with Henry, the other boss man, Dale Vince. We got to hang out with Richard Hughes. Man, eat some amazing food. Phil Butterworth, Mrs. Butterworth.
Shout out to Jade. We met Jade.
We met Jade.
Illustrious podcast, right?
David Drew, the ex-MP, right? Told us about his diarrhea incident after Barrow.
Right before we ate.
Actually, he was in line getting food, putting it on his plate, and he told us about the diarrhea that he got from Barrow. So, man, it was just an incredible, incredible day. Just like the best day ever from start to finish. I don't know. Yeah, like,
meeting so many great people.
Yeah.
Everybody, slightly embarrassing for me, but all good-naturedly, everyone just saying, hey, you made it here.
Yeah.
You got here.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was all good-natured and like so much fun. It was just, yeah.
Oh,
what a day. Hey!
By the way, it's like we're back home.
We're back home. We're back in New York City.
Man, it was just the best.
Actually,
like,
it might be the police coming to kick us out.
Yeah, coming to kick us out. Anyway. No potting on the Queen's grounds. Anyway, it was incredible, guys. We can't put it into words, like, how much we appreciated the experience that all of you gave us. You were the kindest people ever. Just everybody we've met, even if we just met you for a second, it just shook your hand. It was, you made the day for us. You gave us...
Yeah. Listen, by all rights, I should have just been face down on the turf as soon as I stepped in.
No sleep.
No sleep. Crazy journey, crazy odyssey to get to Stroud and to get to Nailsworth. But because of the spirit of the people, the spirit of the South Stand, everybody we met, from supporters up to Dale Vince and Henry and everyone, Phil Butterworth and his wife as well. We just were so excited. You gave us that second wind and that life that we needed to enjoy the day.
Yeah, man, it was the best day ever. So yeah, after we had lunch with the big bosses. So big shout out to Liam Horsley as well. Trevor Horsley's son. Liam was an incredible friend to us. He picked us up. He brought us to the new lawn. And then at night, we'll talk about the after party in a second. But at night, he also was so kind enough to chauffeur us around. So, Liam, you are the man.
Yeah, didn't just take us and drop us off at a dogging site. Was a good guy and dropped us home.
Even though, as much as we asked him to.
Yeah, we were begging. We were practically begging.
After lunch, we then made our way down to the South Stand. Thank you, Connor, for taking us down. And the South Stand was incredible. We got to meet so many people.
That we've only known online.
That we've known online.
We interacted with through social media.
Yeah, and I guess before the South Stand, we met Lori. Yeah. We met Ash, like two
We saw Ollie in the South Stand.
And then we went to the South Stand. We met Ollie. And then we just met so many.
And not even just them. We met their fathers in the South
Stand. Yeah! Shout out to the OG. Smith and Martin.
Piffy Smithy.
That's right.
Goat hand, Twitter handle. Yeah,
it is a goat Twitter handle. Piffy Smithy. I love that name. Anyway, so huge shout out to everyone we met. Man, it was great. We got to sit by, stand by Kay and Gary Hoffman. It was awesome. By Sean Baker, the legend himself. it was just, everyone was just so kind, man. We love this place. We love, you just made us feel so special.
And welcome,
And welcome. And even though we're, two idiots from across the sea, who just started following this club a few years ago.
And don't know how to renew a passport.
And don't know how to renew a passport. You made us feel Like, we're not so much of idiots.
Yeah. We felt like we belonged. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about the game really quick. So watching from the South Stand, first of all, incredible, incredible atmosphere. Just standing, yelling, singing, jumping around. I got winded, shimmy. I got out of breath multiple times. I was not in shape for the South Stand.
I know, yeah. We were not prepared for how intense it was. and the jubilation that ensued after those goals went in.
Yeah, so we go to the South Stand. We see Sean Baker, we see Kay, and we're like, oh, we got to sit by them. So we sit by Kay, Kay by Gary Hoffman, legends of the game. Man, the first goal just was like incredible. It was just a mosh pit. Regan Hendry scores. We couldn't really see anything from where we were sitting, but we saw the net of the other ripple, end, like, yeah. Ripple. We're like, go! Let's go! And just, as you say in the UK, limbs everywhere. We just hugged everyone around us.
Yeah.
My glass fall off, stepped on them, broke them. Who cares? Worth it. It was amazing. I just remember seeing Gary. I think I hugged Gary. I think I hugged Kay. I probably hugged you. I probably hugged everyone around us.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Thomas Grove's dad, shout out to Thomas, and his dad right in front of us too. Jake Wyman, Jake Wyman, also right next to us. I feel like we hugged him, exchanged germs with all these people. But man, the first goal, unbelievable experience. I'll never forget that experience. Like the ball going in and just going nuts in the South Stand.
Yeah, ditto, man. You said it all. It was just what an atmosphere. And to be right in the middle of it was incredible.
God, yeah, it was unbelievable, man. I'll never forget that moment. And then the second goal when Jama scored, it was just, again, same thing. Limbs everywhere. Our little passes on our necks got ripped off. And we're just, again, going crazy. Hugging everyone. It was just the best. And then halftime, another huge shout-out to Kay, by the way. Big shout-out to Kay Hoffman. She snuck out a little early to get beers for all of us because there's always a line at halftime. So huge props to Kay.
So well taken care of.
Coming
everybody.
Through. Everybody took care of us, man. The club. The fans, the players, we'll talk about them in a second. So then we went out and had some pints out there. We met our man Pat Doig, a.k.a. Pat Doig, but his real name is Pat Doig, the legend.
A.k.a. Dogecoin.
Dogecoin. Bye, bye, bye to the moon. He came all the way down from Yorkshire. So huge shout out to the legend, Pat Doig, man. And then we met his friends as well. Met Flaggers, the legend. Met so many people. Rosley, oh, it was awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have time to think about how exhausted we were just because the vibe was so strong and so
positive. Vibes were immaculate. We met the FGR Vlogs himself, Cam Hoffman and Thomas. We're so lucky to get on there. Then we went back for the second half. We actually stood with Flaggers, Ollie, all the young fans. And, man, it was just such a great experience.
The singing was incredible.
The singing was incredible. I didn't have a voice for the entire day after. I still kind of don't have a voice. But it was an incredible experience, and my favorite part was... For some reason, I don't understand why. I'm sure it's part of British culture that everybody knows about us.
We took our shoes off.
We took our shoes off, and I'm addicted.
You know what?
I need to take my shoe. Let's take it off right now.
Let's take it
off,
yeah.
No one's going to see it.
No one's going to see it. This is an audio format, not a visual format. But our shoes are off.
Let's take a picture of us. Bad audio here, but we're getting a picture of us.
Documented.
Yeah, here we go. What happened? Second half, took our shoes off, sang.
Yeah, for a second I thought it was like the residence of my trip, because I had to spend the night in George Bush Hotel. George Bush Hotel, a.k.a. the gate at George Bush Airport, sleeping very uncomfortably in a chair. But maybe lifting out the shoe was that cosmic remembrance of when that brave Iraqi journalist threw his shoe at George Bush Airport.
Yeah!
So
the Iraq. Oh, man, so anyway... then, you know, the game ended, an incredible win. We'll talk about the game actually with Dokes in just a few minutes. But just the most perfect day. After the game, we got to dap up some of our heroes. Dan Sweeney, Daddy Kane, the Wagamama Wonder himself.
Drippy Dom.
Drippy Dom Bernard, we got to see twice actually. We saw him at halftime as well. And then we walked over to the East Stand after the game. We got to hang out with Dokes for a while. We got to hang out with Rob for a while. Give him some pointers for how to score more goals in our end next time, because all the goals were on the other end. But it
we
was
can't
just...
forget the man of the match. The man
and
himself.
Ibu Adams. We got to hang out with Ibu. We got their sweat all over us. We haven't showered since.
No. And I was already well practiced, so I'm cool. I'm fine with it.
Oh, man. And then, then we just went to the gym bar. Unfortunately, we got there way too late. It was basically closing. Shout out to Kathy for keeping it open a little bit longer for us. And shout out to everyone who, waited. We hung out with Bax, hung out with Kay a little bit more. We hung out with Tom.
Yeah, Ashley, volunteer.
Ashley Fudge.
What, 40 years now?
Yes. Yeah. Huge shout out to Ashley Fudge, who gave us a huge welcome. He was actually the first face we saw, he and his wife, as we came in to the hospitality suites in the beginning, man. Like, just thank you so much. This was the best day. And for anyone who's listening who's never been, you have to go. It is the best. It is way... It exceeded...
Screw Old Trafford. Theater of Dreams is in Nailsworth.
Yes.
Top of the hill.
It's the best.
Fully charged new.
It exceeded every expectation. I'm just floored. I wish we could go again. And we are going again 2-8 day in Bristol, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So last thing we'll say is just like, thank you all for the greatest day ever. It was amazing. It meant so much to us.
Yeah, man. It's like those, you know, if you ever watch a Marvel movie at the end and you see like the CGI credits list.
Yes.
It's like a million people. That's what it felt like. We could just go on and on and on because everybody that we met that day.
I guarantee was so good to us. But man, thank you all so much. Yeah. Okay, Hotel Nathan here. We are going to now go to our guests. First, Kip Kowalski. Then, Yudogam Godwin-Malief and surprise guest Maddie Stevens. Then we'll go to Lucy. Then we'll go to Charlie and Mad Max, the gas man, his gasness himself. The royal gas. Our guy Mad Max. All right, let's get into an awesome chat. So we're just going to go back to back to back. Let's hit it. Here we go. Kowalski here from WTOV 9 and Steubenville, Ohio, reporting live from Buckingham Palace, where a lot of people are looking at us, asking why a man is screaming into a laptop. Anyway, we're back after a hiatus and run from the law and the passport agencies, as I am joined by the Bayou Baby, Tony Gras.
Bonjour.
I need water. A high octane opening, and we go to the 8th minute, where Ronald Reagan Hendry illegally sold a missile of a shot to the Islamic Republic of Iran as part of an unsuccessful effort to secure the release of 6 American hostages in Lebanon. But the only hostages here were the Latics, as Hendry's ball gave us promotion hope while sailing past Oldham keeper Danny Kenny Rogers, who started singing, "You gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em. Know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your promotion. When you're sitting top of the table, they'll be tough, and I'm not trying to count. When the league is won." Goal! 1-0 to the Rovers, everyone's staring at us. Then we're talking about the Iran-Contra affair on the footsteps of the government building in England. Anyway, Tony, take it away.
So at the other end, it was Luke McGee, who was denied by the little crocodile Davis Keeler Dunn with his feet. Was that Luke with two hands, or was it many tentacles like the octopus he is?
Oh, crocodile Davis Dillon Dunn, Killer Dunn. Amen. All right, we go to the 41st minute with Trickolus. Nicholas Cadden Aladdin sends the ball flying on a magic carpet and finds the old noggin of the real deal Jamil Matt the Jammer and Sickle himself, igniting the proletarian solidarity and ending his 16-game run without a goal as the Rovers El Capitan not at home one whatever becomes the highest goal scorer in four screen history, I think. Goal 2-0 to the Rovers!
And then just after that, Oldham had a little bit of a gift, right? A little bit of a penalty lifeline with 11 minutes to go when our boy, man of the match, right, Laome Ibu Adams, was adjudged to have fouled Joel Clark in the ball. But Christopher Miss Lou forgot his missiles at home, right? He also forgot about the Cajun Holy Trinity when making a stew because he forgot his onion bag. Oh, he missed it.
He missed
the penalty.
Oh, étouffée. All right, we should get out of here because we're getting a lot of strange looks. So, Gareth Kip signing off from Buckingham Palace.
Adieu.
All right. Actually, wait, before we sign out, we should say, the Rovers are one more point to promotion.
We're on our way. How we get there, I don't know. How we get there, I don't care. All I know is we are on our way.
Everyone's looking at us.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Yudoka Garuma Leaf and surprise guest, the People's Champion, Maddie Stevens. A little disclaimer, our audio is really bad on this one. We are, of course, recording with a laptop, no microphone, and there's a huge lag between us and them. They're recording at Nando's, though, so a huge shout out to them for making time for us. Okay, let's get into the People's Champ and the Nigerian Nightmare. We welcome to the pod, fighting out of the green corner, standing at 5 feet 11 inches but 6 foot on dating apps, weighing in at 165 pounds from Oxford, United Kingdom. He's the tornado of testosterone, the bone-shaking baritone, the Nigerian Nightmare, Yudoka Godwin Malif. And also fighting out of the green corner, officially weighing in at 157 pounds, along with Floyd Money Mayweather. He's one of only two boxers undefeated, the former four-time youth heavyweight world champion of the world, fighting at a Pinewood Star ABC in Crowthorne, England, quick as a cat, ready for combat, the People's Champion, Matty the Batty Stevens.
There he is, Dokes! Dokes, the boxer, live from Nando's, right? Yeah. You're at Nando's right now?
Yeah, Nando's, yeah.
Let's go! Are you still vegan? I know you went vegan for a little while.
Yeah, I did during my injury, but it's hard to maintain, so now I'm back to normal, back to chicken, if I'm being honest, yeah.
Back to chicken Nando's! How was boxing? Tell us about boxing real quick.
Oh, hard. It's different type of fitness, different ball game.
Is this a new thing that you were trying for cardio?
Yeah, just I like trying different sports, and it's just a sport I'm just not falling in love with, but taking it right now.
Oh, I love it. That's cool, man. And it builds mental toughness in addition to the cardio. That's beautiful, man. Oh, can everyone hear us in Nando's right now?
No one can hear you. No one can hear you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
Just like the podcast in general.
That's right. Are you by yourself?
John, I've got a special guest with me. This is my ring coach.
Tell me it's the People's Champ. Hey! People's Champ! One, Maddie Stevens! Let's go, baby! Let's go. Maddie!
Master motivator. Yeah. We heard about the pep talk.
Yeah, we heard about the pep talk, man. On Monday.
The other day, but I couldn't find it after.
Yeah, I know. We saw you on the pitch. We were so thrilled. It was chaos after. But
is that half time? Is that half time when I put my hand up to you? Or was it just before the game?
I don't remember. I think it was halftime. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was halftime.
I give the team talk before the game.
I know. Yeah, we heard.
It's incredible, man.
They want me to do it every game, but I said, look, you're going to have to start paying me.
I love it. What did you say to them? What did you say when they get them pumped up?
Listen, that day didn't need a team to do it. They knew what was on the line, so it was a chance to get promoted or a chance to get step closer to get promoted. So it was just along the lines of that, basically.
I love it. And man, like, you know, you're such an inspirational character to the team. Just the fact that this, you know, unfortunate thing happened to you, I think it probably inspired everybody as well. Like, we got to get this for Maddie, man. He had such a great season for us, and it's just a tragedy what happened.
Honestly, it's been the support I've got is unbelievable. I've been close to tears. It really has. It's been nice for everyone. Everyone who is watching, thank you for that as well. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. Well, the people love you. That's why they call you the People's Champ. And we got the Nigerian Nightmare. But one last question, man.
Intertitle tag team duo.
How good or bad is Dokes at boxing?
Got potential?
Very strong. He can punch. Definitely punch. We can work on other little bits, but nah, listen, they don't call him the Nightmare for nothing.
Let's go! The Nigerian Nightmare! The the Nigerian nightmare.
We gotta get Michael Buffer on here.
So, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna give you an intro. We won't do it now. We'll do it later. Before I'll give you a Michael Buffer intro. But man, I love it. So, Dokes, can you quickly talk us through the match on Monday? The match that we were there for was beautiful. Just what were your thoughts? What do we do well? What do we have to improve?
Obviously following. Not trying to dwell on what happened on the Friday, but obviously we Monday we knew we had to react really, and Rob gave us a clear message of how he just wants us to like play at a really high intensity. Yeah, he just wanted us to go out there and literally just put everything on the line, just play as if it was our last game, and I think we did that. I feel like we was on the front foot. And when you got the fans behind you like that, you guys and the rest of the Forest Green family behind you like that, it's even easier to get more geared up for it and excited. So yeah, we had the energy on the pitch and we had the energy in the stands as well. So it was good.
Oh yeah, we felt that energy.
Yeah, too. Dude, it was
happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, first time in the South Stand and we were just like blown away. It was just so fun. You can probably hear I still like don't have much of a voice. But man, that's awesome. We are 1 point away from promotion, baby. So close, so close.
Taste it.
How are you? Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but let's get ahead of ourselves a little bit. How are you going to celebrate if it happens? When it happens?
Well, we have to get to Saturday first.
There you go. There's the professional answer. All right. All right, we're knocking wood. We're not going to jinx it. I did want to ask you one quick question about really the summer, actually, Dokes, because last year ended, your contract was up, and you were a player that a lot of us thought wasn't going to re-sign, quite frankly, because we're pretty confident there were a bunch of other clubs interested. Swooping in. And but you didn't. You stayed, and we were like thrilled with that. We were so like pleasantly surprised that you stayed. You signed, and you were going to be a Forest Green Rover this year. What went into that decision? Why did you choose to come back?
I just could see like what was going on in the club. Forest Green is a really good club, and I'm not just saying that because I'm at Forest Green. I think anyone who is in and around Forest Green knows the all. Has heard about Forest Green can say the same thing. It's such a well-run club, and yeah, I don't know, it could be a case of just me being comfortable. I was comfortable here and I knew everyone. I felt loved here, and it's a good feeling sometimes being loved and being wanted. And obviously the interest from other places was overwhelming, but you know, I mean, everything happens for a reason. It might not have been the right time for me to do it. I feel like I'm still learning. I still have things to improve on. And obviously, my relationship with Rich Hughes as well was really good. He's the one that brought me to the club. He has a lot of faith in me. And I feel like re-signing was just, it was almost like repaying the favour of giving me that first contract that he gave me. And yeah, it's almost like I was almost repaying him and just thanking him for the opportunity, and I was like I said, I'm glad to be here, especially now what's happening this season.
And your contribution.
So glad that I'm here. I'm so glad I can be a part of something like this, especially being here for me and Tom have been here for one of the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Special, and I love this club. I've said this to you countless of times. I like being here, and I like the players here. We're just all like brothers, staff. So good with each other, and yeah, it's like I said, it's just one big family, really. And I'm enjoying my time here. Long may that continue.
Yes. And you know, we feel that too. Like as fans, we feel it's a Forest Green family. Everybody from the staff, the execs, the fans, the players. This really is like a special community. We feel that too. Not that we've gotten any offers to pod anywhere else. In fact, I think Richard Hughes is probably looking to replace us right now. He's out scouting.
When you
scouting.
Guys are in League One, yeah, he's scouting two new guys to do the club podcast.
Yeah,
we're out.
He's gonna upgrade when we get up to League One. Dokes, man, 100 career appearances for the club, man. The 100 whatever.
You're 100 centurion.
Club. Centurion, yeah. Man, you are. Oh, you're a legend now. You are locked in. In the Forest Green history books, man, for life, and especially after we get this promotion. So we'll get out of here. We had a little plan to do something called a segment called karaoke, like karaoke but with doke in the middle. Yeah. However,
you know you're in public.
However, we know you're in Nando's, so you may
you
not.
You said nobody's there.
That's
so
true.
It shouldn't be an issue.
That's true. So, would you and Maddie Stevens be down for karaoke, or you can't do it in public?
What's karaoke? What have we got to do? Just mimic a song.
You just got to sing a song with us.
And we spin a wheel.
We spin a wheel.
And it could be any song.
Whatever song it lands on, we all got to sing it. And then that's it.
The lyric's going to come up on the
screen. We just sing one verse, too. What's that?
The lyric's going to come up on the screen for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it American Pie?
No.
We don't have that much time. We don't have that much time. It's like an 18-minute song.
Yeah. No, it's 30 seconds of the song. Are you in?
Yeah, go on.
Let's go! What about Maddie? Maddie's in? All right, here we go. So I'm going to share my screen. And we have a bunch of dokes. We came up with a bunch of theme songs, like dokes themed songs. So whichever one it lands on will be the one we go with. Could land on anyone. As soon as I find my Zoom, I'll share my screen. Here we go. Sharing screen. There it is. So let me find the wheel. That's not it. Uh-oh. Here we go. Here's the wheel. So we have Take Me Home, Country Roads, the classic song you sang last year.
Take Me Home, Country Roads. That's another option.
Or it could land on Country Roads as well. Take Me Home, Country Roads. So those are options. So let's spin the wheel. Let's see what happens.
See where it lands. We don't know. We have no control over this.
And then one last thing. We modified the lyrics slightly. Let's embarrass you guys in the middle of Nando's. Here we go. Oh, I got to spin the wheel first. We don't know which song it is.
Yeah, we got to choose the song
first.
Spin
the wheel. Here we go. Spin the wheel.
Green.
Green. Oh. No. Spin again. Blue. One more spin.
Crystal Grover's blue. Anything.
Come on, green.
All right, that's good.
All right, yeah, you got to get out of here. All right, so here we go. Let me start the song. You can hear that?
Yeah.
There we go. All right, here we go. Yeah. Almost heaven. Nailsworth, England. Dale Vince wind turbine. Dogging at Cooley Viewpoint. Oh!
Emma's old there. He's almost 33. Green top of the mountain. We're growing like a breeze.
Here we go! Take me home. Let's go. Amazing. Dokes, Maddie, we love
you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for embarrassing yourself in Nando's. Thank you for hanging out with us. We love you guys, man. We will see you on Saturday. Dokes, Maddie Stevens, the Nigerian Nightmare, the people's champion. Oh, incredible for them to make time for us. Thank you guys so much. How awesome, too. Just so beautiful to hear Dokes talk about his love for this club and why he decided to stay. Apologies to everyone for the singing. It's usually bad, but it was even worse this time because of the lag. The internet lag and whatever. Anyway, we made it through it. You made it through it. You survived. Now, let's go to Lucy Ford, the amazing Lucy Ford, co-founder of the Her Game 2 movement and massive Bristol Rovers fan. Let's go. Lucy.
Hello.
You can hear us.
I can hear you. Just letting my... Oh, there we go. You can see me now.
Yeah, and hear you. Hello, Lucy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
Trying to stay awake.
Exhausted.
Yeah. I was going to say, you must disoriented. Be so jet-lagged.
We are jet-lagged, no sleep. Like, I mean, we've been here for... Well, I've been here since Friday now, so I've been here for a while, but just every day has been crazy, running around like crazy.
I know. It's like having two celebrities come over to the UK.
yeah.
I mean, sure. I saw you on podcast last night. I was like, oh my God. I said, Dad. Look at these guys. I said, I'm talking to them tomorrow. They've come from America. They support Forest Green. And then oh, that's cool. And then just like crawling off to the gym.
Yeah. I'm going to go now.
Say, your accent is very Bristolian.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Not even Bristolian.
That's what I said.
Nathan has been correcting any English person he meets about the history. Like, we were in the club bar yesterday, FGR's club bar, and one of the nicest guys who was a kit man for FGR.
Right, Tom, kit man.
Yeah. He's like, well, here's the first shirt we had when Dale Vince bought the club. It was the chairman and the badge changed. And Nathan's like, no, it's not.
I was very confident. It wasn't. I was, of course, wrong.
He was wrong. Yeah.
It's it's the American in us. You know, we got to be right. Yeah. Even when we're wrong, we got to be right. But anyway, no, I was just joking though, Lucy. We cannot tell any accents apart. So you sound just like anyone we just met on the street. It's awesome. We love your accent, though. You sound so smart, so sophisticated, so elegant. It's awesome.
I mean, that's the first time my accent has been said it's smart and sophisticated.
Come to America.
Yeah, come to the Midwest where we're from.
The standards are very low for intelligence. All right, so let's get into this thing. Lucy Ford, co-founder of Her Game 2 and an avid, massive, massive Bristol Rovers fan is here to drop a little Her Game 2 knowledge on us and drop a lot of Bristol Rovers knowledge on us and possibly embarrass herself through our first segment called Kara Folky, except she's not, because we are here. We're going to be the embarrassing one, so don't worry. You will look excellent in front of us. So first, before we get going, let's explain what Kara Folky is. We pick out a few songs that are themed in our opposition. So in this case, Bristol Rovers. So we have five songs, I think. Mm-hmm. Five songs we found. We're going to spin a wheel, and whichever song it lands on, we got to sing. And so how it's going to work is I'll sing the first verse, he'll do the second, you'll do the third, and then we all finish and sing the chorus together.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Let's go. All right, so let me share my screen. Let me share my sound. I always forget to do that. Here we go. All right, so we got five songs on the lineup. Where is it? This is one potential. You're getting a sneak preview. No sneak previews. Here we go.
You've definitely done your knowledge.
Why?
Because why do you say that? Bristol. Because like Bananarama were from Bristol.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I read. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. It's the internet. I wasn't sure if it was
true.
They I think. Well, I don't know if all of the band members, but definitely at least amazing. Two or three of them grew up in Bristol. So.
And okay, to Sean's credit, he did a lot of the legwork here, and he found actually a bunch of Bristol bands. But I took them out because they weren't like karaoke-y. But Cruel Summer is a banger. So we got
Rolling. And also a great way to describe the feeling of the playoffs. That's what it was for last summer.
Yes.
When Forest Creek got knocked out of the playoffs by Newport County.
Yes. And since we are fighting, you know, playoffs, maybe automatics, but any case, it could be a cruel summer. We hope not, though. We like Bristol Rovers. We like Bristol Rovers, even though you're our neighbor. So we actually hope you go up with us to League One and we can.
I think I think it's going to be a fun end of the season, whatever happens. So keeping everything crossed.
I love it. So Bananarama from Bristol and the theme of like cruel summer, cruel playoffs as we experience. We hope you don't experience it. But we also have Rolling Stones, Jumping Jack Flash, mainly just because in that song they say gas a bunch of times. And actually, all the rest of these, most of the rest of these are gas themed. So Daddy Yankee, Gasolina, you know that song?
Yeah, I know that song.
Reggaeton.
Good. We don't know any of the lyrics, but we'll.
The chorus.
Yeah, I'm not too sure of the lyrics, to be honest.
How's your Spanish, Lucy?
I'd have to think back. I did get an A in GCSE Spanish when I was like 16.
Hey, all right, you're gonna kill us then in that.
No. I failed my A level Spanish.
I love it. The next one, Billy Ray Cyrus. Have you ever heard "Achy Breaky Heart"? It's a
yes.
Okay. So when Sham and I were in elementary school, they for some reason it was hilarious for us to sing it as "Achy Breaky Fart." And so
that's what all young kids would do.
That's what all young kids did, yeah, back in America. So to stick with the gas theme, we'll sing "Achy Breaky Heart," but put "fart" instead of "heart." And then the last one, we noticed a lot of the actors from Game of Thrones are from Bristol. I think Macy. What's her name?
Maisie Williams.
Yeah,
Macy Williams from Bath, which is like the next city along from Bristol.
Close enough. I forget his name. One of the soldier dudes of the Unsullied. I don't remember his name. I think he's from Bristol. Anyway, so. This one actually might be the least embarrassing. Game of Thrones theme song. We just gotta hum the
hum the melody.
Is this a bad time to say I've never seen Game of Thrones? I don't.
Oh,
it is, and it's the best time to say it because it'll make it that much funnier.
Yes.
To see you try to hum it.
To see you try to hum it without ever hearing it. So I'm hoping, personally, I'm rooting for Cruel Summer and Gasolina. Yeah. Those are my two two I want to sing. What do you got, Sean?
I'm just rooting for my death to be quick and painless.
And you, Lucy?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bananarama or Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like it.
Here we go. And I will say, last time we defied the wheel choice, which was last week with the Oldham fan, Game of Thrones. All right. Oh. Should we? Wait, I don't think it's finished. Spinning.
Yeah, it's spinning.
It's still spinning. The last time we defied the wheel and just kept spinning until we got what we wanted. Hey, Billy Ray Cyrus.
After we defied the gods of the wheel, Horace Green Rovers lost
4-0 to Barrow. So this might be out of, but you have just taken part in betraying the wheel. And so I think the karma.
It's a wash.
Yeah, it's a wash. Karma goes both ways here. All right, achy breaky fart. I misspelled breaky. Here we go. Achy breaky heart karaoke. So here we go, baby.
I'm gonna get the words up because I was thinking I'm gonna have to remember this from memory.
Oh. And if you want to insert any references to flatulence, switch it up by all means.
No, we have to freestyle. We have to sing the fart.
No, I'm saying any of the verses
along the way. Verses, gotcha.
The chorus is gonna be achy breaky fart.
Yes. Sure. Okay. The chorus has to be achy breaky fart. Here we go. No. Yeah. All right. I'll go first, then Tom, and then Luke. You can hear, right? You can tell the world you never was my girl. You can burn my clothes up when I'm gone.
You can tell your friends just what a fool I've been and laugh and joke about me on the phone.
Lucy!
You can tell my mom, go back to the restaurant. You can tell my feet to hit the floor.
Let's go! You can tell my lips. Tell my fingertips, they won't be reaching out for you no more. Here we go. Don't tell my fart, my achy breaky fart. I just don't think you understand. If you tell my fart, my achy breaky fart, he might blow up and kill us. And
all right,
Lucy. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for participating in that very juvenile song with us. Let me stop that. There we go.
Stop. Yeah.
Stop sharing. All right.
I understand why people changed it to achy breaky fart because I forgot the chorus said a man dies at the end.
What?
I've never heard.
Yeah. That's why they changed it to fart. It was so funny.
Yeah. It doesn't sound a very nice song if you think about it. I mean, you hear it and you think, oh, this is like a nice song. It's on to sing along to, and then you read the words and it's like, this isn't okay.
Yeah. I've never seen the lyrics. We
have over $700 billion defense budget, so most of American life is around blowing things up.
Which we're against. We're against anti-blow up pod. But anyway, let's get on to football, baby. So we want to talk about Her Game 2 in a minute, but first, just tell us about your love of Bristol Rovers. When did it start? Where did it come from? And what do you love most about being a Bristol Rovers diehard fan?
Oh gosh, yeah. So I have been going to games since I was 10 years old. My dad took me to my first game in 2006-07. We won 1-0 against Shrewsbury Town, and I just loved it. I just knew from that first day I was hooked. I remember everything about the game, who scored, and just feeling like, you know, I just loved being there. And then that season I kind of went to a couple more games, notably being the Millennium Stadium. We played in the Johnson Paint Trophy final against Doncaster. We lost 3-2 in extra time. We were actually 2-0 down inside 5 minutes, but we got it to extra time. And I remember something that always sticks in my head was when we went back, when we got up to 2-2, our fans were singing 2-0 and you insert explicit hair. And my dad covered my ears and I was like, yeah, what are they singing? And he's like, oh no, don't worry about it. And he like had to like look. I remember him looking at the guy next to him. And then 7 weeks later, we got to the League Two Player Final at what was New Wembley at the time. It's obviously a lot older now. And yeah, we won 3-1 against Shrewsbury Town, and that was it really. And then started going more with my dad and my grandparents. So to be my granddad, who was a massive Bristol Rovers fan. He went to his first game in 1950, so
wow.
He's been everywhere. He has so many stories to tell, and I used to love going to away games with him on the coaches and home games. So yeah, those are the two that really inspired my love for football. Yeah, I don't know, it's just something that's just in me. I just love being a Gashead. It's just, you know, I can't imagine my life without football and without Bristol Rovers. Even though sometimes they might frustrate me, but yeah, it makes me, I guess.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love the nickname too, Gashead. It's such a cool nickname. And I love where it came from. We actually had Max Alderson on from the Gascast podcast. The first time he played Bristol Rovers earlier in the season, he told us like the genesis of the Gas nickname. Yeah. And it's like you guys embraced you. It was like a joke. People made fun of you for it and you embraced it. And I love that. I love that. I hope we as Forest Green become the Tin Pots. I hope that we embrace that everyone calls us Tin Pot. But yeah.
You never know.
But anyway, so I love that name. Gas heads, baby. Gas. So tell us about her game two move. And I'm sure everybody listening already knows about it. But in case there's somebody who doesn't, tell us what it is. Tell us how it got started, how you would just, and then I want to know, like, where's the movement today and where is it going?
Okay, so her game two was founded in May of last year. By my very, very good friend Kaz and fellow Bristol Rovers fan as well. So she kind of came to me with the idea, you know, to do a video to kind of highlight our experiences because, you know, both of us growing up had, you know, experienced comments and things online for, you know, for giving our opinion about football, for being football, you know, female football fans. And I think an incident happened in January of last year where she tweeted about a scoreline of another team. A team got hammered, not a rival team. And she was like, oh, what's the point of them being in that league? They lose every week. And, you know, it was an opinion. It was true because they were. And for some reason, it got a lot of abuse on Twitter. And it got to, like, real sexist comments, personal comments. You know, she has to lock down her Twitter. She, you know, she deleted the app. And it was really, really horrible because, you know, everyone should be able to have an opinion about football, you know, whether you're a new fan, whether you're a fan of, you know, 50 years, like everyone's entitled to their own opinions. And it should be like a healthy debate and, you know, back and forth, like fun banter, you know, like, well, you know, like, for example, like today, you might say, oh, we're going to win 3-0. And I'm like, oh, no, I think we're going to win 2-0, for example. And whatever the result, you're going to, people might be like, oh, see, you got it wrong. I'd be like, yeah, we got it wrong. Like, that's football. You know, that happens. It's a crazy game. But, you know, for people to say these comments, and it wasn't, you know, when we got the other girls involved, so there's 12 of us in the initial video, every single one of them had experienced comments either online or in person. And so we just really wanted to highlight that. So we put the video out on FA Cup final day last year, and the response was just beyond anything we could have ever imagined. The video got a million views in 24 hours on Twitter, which, you know, it was mind blowing and it still blows my mind now. And then, yeah, from there, we did a survey kind of asking other girls and women for their experiences. And that was really telling because over 90% of out of just under 400 responses, over 90% had seen sexist abuse online towards a woman in football. So that doesn't just mean a fan, that could be a player, a pundit, a journalist, a referee, anybody involved in football. And I think that's where we kind of realised it's a bigger issue. And over 63% had experienced it online themselves, and 58% had experienced it in person, either in a pub or at a ground. And that's kind of where we want to go to the clubs and say, you know, that this is an issue, you know, this needs to be highlighted in, you know, in football. Like, we want to make ground safe space for girls and women to come, you know, because, you know, you're all there supporting the same team. Everyone should feel welcome and feel like, you know, they belong. That's their football club. So one of our key aims was having like reporting systems in place. And through all of our football league partnerships, that's been done, which has been amazing. And then having a presence of her game two at the ground. And that's been, you know, at Forest Green, I saw it myself, you know, they've got the LED boards. So for me as a travelling away fan, that was really, really cool to see, to see it there myself. It's been like amazing to go to different grounds, see the posters, see like LED boards, different things. And then from there, we've had like dedicated days somewhere around International Women's Day. Obviously, we've got a big one this weekend, which I'm so excited about. And yeah, I mean, we've got over 100 partnerships now, which is across the Football League, Premier League and non-league and grassroots as well. And, you know, for us, we feel like it's just the beginning, really. We know we have a long way to go. We know we've nowhere near tackled the issue, and it is going to be a long progress and long journey, but we're determined to make it better for the next generation, and that's really what we want. You know, we want to reach out to schools and put like education packages in there. So, you know, because I remember when I started going, I was finishing what you would say is elementary school. For here it's like primary school. Mm-hmm. So I was going into secondary school, so I was like 10, 11, and I didn't really see it as an issue as going to football, and it wasn't really kind of mentioned. It was more when I got into a little bit older, like 11, 12, and you know, you get comments from other people's teachers being like, why are you spending your weekend doing that? And I just couldn't understand it because I just loved it. It was just what I did on a Saturday afternoon. And this is what people surprised me, because they're like, oh, well, shouldn't you be doing something else? And I was like, well, I actually was a dancer as well growing up. And I did that in the week. And Saturdays was football day. I would just, right, you know, right, throw my football shirt on, you know, get to the ground, you know, early, go, you know, we had our routine from literally the age of like 12 till I was 18 with my grandparents. You know, we'd have chips in the pub house. We'd go in, we'd get our spot for home games, drive there, drive back. And, you know, that was, I loved it. Like, that's, you know, what we did. So it's kind of sad that in 2022, this type of, you know, all discrimination is wrong. And, you know, we absolutely think that in football, there's issues that really need to be highlighted, like racism, homophobia, and sexism as well. So, I mean, I hope that we get to a stage, you know, maybe not my generation, but the next generation, where everyone who wants to go and watch their football club feels welcome to do so and feels safe to do so. And no one should say anything different. No one should be saying to, you know, a little girl that they shouldn't be there because they're a girl, or trying to challenge their knowledge, or, you know, make them feel uncomfortable for being there.
Oh, it's so well put. And it's amazing, like in such a, you said you started in May, right? Last
just
May?
One yeah, year. So it's literally a year anniversary is the 15th of May, which is crazy because it was really funny it's really funny because next Monday is the day Kaz told me about the idea for the campaign, and it's kind of a really weird coincidence for me personally, because I actually lost my granddad a year on this Sunday.
Sorry to hear.
And then to be told, and for Kaz to come to me the day after with the idea, I find it really fitting, because it's like, even though I'm, you know, I'm gutted he's obviously not here, not, you know, not able to talk about football anymore, I know that he was someone that absolutely didn't matter to him whether you were a girl or boy. If you love Bristol Rovers, he was taking you down there. It didn't matter. Like me and my cousins, like my sister isn't a football fan, she doesn't like sports. If she liked it, he would have taken her as well. So, it's kind of a bit, you know, sad in that way that he hasn't seen any of this. But I know that he would have been like really, really proud of what we've managed to achieve in almost 11 months.
Oh yeah, you should be proud of what you've achieved. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's such important work. It's ridiculous that it's, you know, taken this to really open people's eyes, and it's ridiculous that it's 2022 and there's. This stuff is still happening, but
if you're not going to do it, then who is, right?
Yeah, so you're worried
that you guys are speaking up for.
Yeah.
We didn't feel that's the thing. That's when Kaz came to me with the idea for it. She said, "Do you feel like there's a campaign out there for sexism in football?" And I thought about it, and I said no. And that's why she said, "Why don't we do the video highlighting our experiences?" And I was just like, immediately yes. And you know, with that, she said to me, she kind of pitched, you know, like the paper, kind of everyone kind of holding up the comments they've had said to them, and pass them along, and I could just picture it that day. I just knew what it was going to look like, and you know, all credit to her, because you know, the idea that she had, and you know, all the girls kind of contributed, like the 12 of us in a Twitter group chat, which is kind of really funny to say, because that was where, you know, the incident for her happened, and incidents for lots of us have happened. But then following that, it was kind of, you know, and to put it out on there, you know, to have such a positive reaction was amazing. And yeah, it's just, yeah, no, we are, I am really, really proud, and I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Oh, it's awesome. It's so cool to see. And that's a nice transition into the women's match on Saturday. We will be there. I'm sure you'll be there as well. Let's go. I cannot wait. And I hope everybody stays after the men's game. It's going to be awesome. We promoted a little bit earlier, but just can't promote it too much. Everybody out there listening, after the Forest Green Rovers men's team crushes the Bristol Rovers men's team. Sorry, Lucy.
3-0.
And we're celebrating promotion. Let's celebrate it. What better way to celebrate it than by supporting the Forest Green Rovers women or the Bristol Rovers women, if you're from Bristol. But we cannot wait to see them live. We had a couple of the women on our podcast, and we had the coach on our podcast earlier in the year. And we were so bummed when we had them on because they were like, oh, the season's going to be over by the time you get here in April. And luckily, thanks to some crappy pitches along the way, their season has been getting pushed back. And so we're going to be able to see it. Not only are we going to see it, actually, we're training with the women's team tomorrow.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yes. So if they need a confidence boost, they will get it.
Yeah,
because they're gonna humiliate us. But anyway, so Saturday, we want to hear what is your prediction for the women's match first, and then we'll ask you about the men's match. But what's your prediction for the women's match?
Oh, I think it's gonna be 2-1 to the Gas Girls. We're super excited for it. I mean, our Gas Girls team have had an amazing season themselves. Both the first team and the development team both won their leagues. They've got promoted, so you know, a massive well done to them. Me and Kaz were very lucky to come to one of the Forest Green women's games. I think it was their FA Cup game, and they won 6-1. So I know they're not going to be an easy opponent for our girls, but I feel like they're going to have enough. You know, it's the first time they're playing on the men pitch. It's going to be such an amazing opportunity, yeah. And you know, both sets of teams, they really deserve this, and it's going to be a massive celebration. For women's football. For women in football, and yeah, we just hope that everyone attending can stay. If they can, I know things can happen in people's lives and may not be able to stay, but everyone who can stay, we would love you to stay and cheer on the girls as much as you cheer on the lads.
Exactly, Absolutely. Exactly. We cannot wait.
Yeah, you have any prediction for the men's game?
No, we're gonna get the prediction for the men's game first. I'm just gonna tell you though, I'm sorry, but. Your prediction is wrong for the women's game because we're going to win 3-0. We got Hattie the Bat. He's going to score.
She scores when she wants.
Hattie Jones, she scores whenever she wants. Yeah, Charlie Rowland. She's amazing. Destiny's Child. Charlie Rowland's going to get a goal. Ninka Rucker bringing the ruckus. If you want beef, then bring the ruckus. Ninka Rucker ain't none with. He's going to get a goal. Three goals. And then we got Sam Morris at the back. We got two backs in goal. I mean, how are you going to get a ball if we have two goalkeepers? So I'm going for a clean sheet. 3-0. I'm sorry. All right, let's hear the men's match. What are your thoughts on the men's match?
Oh my gosh. Well, if we were talking back when we played you in November, completely different team. You know, mm-hmm. I went to that game. We were awful. It was a grim day. I was just like, I was in the away end and I was grumpy.
Understandably.
But yeah, now, I mean, we have what we call the Jordi Maradona. Eddie Anderson. We got this guy on loan from Newcastle in January, and honestly, he's the best player I have seen probably in all my time watching Rovers. He's 19. Okay, wow. So keep an eye out for him.
Wow.
And we, since kind of that kind of period, since Christmas time, we've just been on an upward run. And I don't know, I just have a feeling that something special is going to happen at the end of the season, and I don't know what for us.
Is it a Forest Green Rovers promotion? Is that what you're talking about?
I think you're probably gonna win the league anyway. I just hope that you kind of win it against Swindon, not against us. Personally, we don't really like Swindon. I mean, they have our old manager, so it kind of be a little bit. It kind of make me giggle a little bit if you get away from Ben Garner, but that's a different story in itself. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go 3-1, same as what we did against Port Vale.
3-1! Oh no! Well, I know you guys are hot lately. Bristol Rovers, yes. From what we know, is the number one team since January, like top of the table.
Yeah,
like,
we've been the fourth.
Started in January. You've been on fire. We haven't, but we haven't been on fire, but we just won our last game, and every match that Shaman and I have attended, and we'll be there, Forest Green have won. And not only have they won, they've also kept a clean sheet. So
100% record.
Yes, we have 100% record. Every game we've been to. So I don't know if that worries you at all.
No. I don't believe in omens.
Okay, so good. So you don't believe in our... We defied the wheel gods today by skipping the first song that it said. So you don't believe that's going to come back to haunt us either?
No, that will come back to haunt you.
Okay. You don't mess with the karaoke.
Don't mess with it. Yeah, don't mess with the karaoke wheel. Lucy, thank you so much for coming on. It's been awesome to chat with you. Great to... you're doing amazing work with Her Game too. I wish you... eternally, like, the best luck ever. I mean, with that, I hope it continues to grow. It really deserves to grow. It's an incredible thing you guys have done. And then I wish you
started too.
And it's just getting started. It's already so huge and just got it to the moon. And then worst of luck on Saturday, but best of luck after Saturday, because I like this Bristol Rovers crew, man. I hope you guys get promoted with us, and we'll see you in League One
next year.
We can have some banter there. We'll come again to Bristol, eat some nice vegan food, and have a day. All right, Lucy, thank you so much.
No worries. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Lucy, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Amazing work with Her Game too. Massive Bristol Rovers fan. I hope that she'll make time to come down and meet the peasants like Sham and I. She'll be in her fancy director's box. Or the hospitality box at the match. But I hope we'll get to meet her. But anyway, thank you so much, Lucy, for coming on. Next up, we have His Royal Gasness himself, the Gas Man, Mad Max Alderson from the Gas Cast. And also, our man, Charlie, from One Rovers Vlogs, an amazing vlog about Bristol Rovers. Just like our guy Cam Hoffman from FGR Vlogs, he goes into the stands and captures the magic of a League 2 football match. Here we go. Let's get to him. They're awesome guys. There he is. Charlie. So Charlie, we've been all over the place and
on no sleep.
I know. Madness.
Madness. Yeah. And the madness continues because we're going to have Max also be joining us. You know, Max?
Yeah. Max Alderson from the Gas Cast.
Exactly. Yeah. He's actually here right now. I'll explain to him and then we'll get rolling, baby. And our guy Max.
Hello, boys. How we doing?
Hey, Max, the Gas Man. What's up, Max?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys? You good?
Good. Great to see you again. And Charlie, great to meet you. So yeah, I was just telling Charlie right before he came in, we screwed up the timing with everything. We've been like running back from Buckingham Palace because we ran out of battery on the laptop. So we've had to run back, and then all the timing got screwed up, and we didn't want to like keep pushing everyone back. So we're just like, we'll do them together.
No, that's cool.
We'll chat with you too. Let's get into it, guys. Our gas men. Bunch of gas heads right here. Let's go. So, first of all, Charlie runs an awesome vlog for the Bristol, covering Bristol Rovers. It's an awesome account. He's their very own Cam Hoffman. Cam Hoffman's our vlog guy. We love Cam. Charlie, tell us a little bit about the vlog.
Yes. It basically started it back just before the first lockdown. Just been doing that, really, you know, trying to get people involved. You know, if people like it, then it's good, but it's just a hobby that I thought I should start, you know, because basically I, you know, started it a bit late because, you know, you see a lot of younger vloggers or content creators like the one Cam from who does Forest Green. So just thought I'd start it up, really, and it's gone well, so I'm glad.
Yeah, kudos to you too for having the bravery to do the vlog. We take a look in the mirror every morning, like, we cannot do a vlog. We got to do audio only. So the fact you're doing it for us older guys, we love that.
Yeah, man. And crap, where do we go? Max, our guy Mad Max is in the building, man. It's so great having you on last time. We got so many remarks from FGR fans who were like, that guy's awesome. That guy's so cool. Like, I want to meet him too. Anyway, Max, we're so happy we're going to meet you. Hopefully we'll meet you if you're willing to show your face with us.
Absolutely.
But tell us a little bit about Bristol. So we're having our first away day ever, and it's in Bristol. And we've heard that Bristol is like the coolest city in England. So we are so excited. We know about the Gloucester Road pub crawl because of you. Where do you recommend we start our day, our Saturday morning, to prepare for this game?
Well, where are you boys staying in Bristol? Are you in the center?
We are, I think.
Yeah. I don't remember where. There's a Hampton. We're somewhere.
Something Hampton Inn.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like I would say you could probably make it on foot to the ground. If you walk up Gloucester Road, there's ample pubs to choose from. But the Rovers Ground's pretty near the top of Gloucester Road. So I would say probably do a bit of walking, find like a nice breakfast place. There's quite a few nice cafes along there. And then I'd probably start drinking maybe at the Anchor or the Sportsman Pub. Right. Which is about halfway up. So there's a fair few pubs around there. And then, you're spoiled for choice, really, guys, to be honest. The beauty of Bristol is the variety, especially on Gloucester Road. I think there's, 30 pubs or something ridiculous. So there's no real home away pubs. The only real home pubs are the ones really close to the ground. So you'd be fine going in any of them, really, if you're wearing colours. Everyone's pretty friendly anyway in Bristol, so you're covered in that basis. But yeah, I would start walking up Gloucester Road, maybe get one of the Voice scooters that you've probably seen, and zip your way up, get some breakfast, and then get some pints in you as you make your way closer and closer to the ground for kickoff.
That's brilliant advice, except for the scooters, because we still have not figured out what side of the road to. Like we've been riding bikes.
We've narrowly averted death maybe 8 to 10 times.
Yeah, 30 times, like trying to cross the street. Right now we're in London, and we are looking the completely wrong way, and the bus almost hits us. And we've also biking in London, also riding on the complete wrong side of the road. So I don't know if we need the scooter, but appreciate the advice. Cannot wait, man.
But maybe we will. And what a way to go out, right?
What a way to go out. So, Charlie, we are coming to the Mem, a place that you document all the time. And by the way, I want to say about shout out to you and our own guy Cam, because the beauty of vlogs is, especially in the stands, is you connect people from all over the world, like us, who just like we've always fantasized what it would be like to be on the ground, be in the stands, and so we just appreciate the work that you do as a vlogger because our guy Cam, because it connects us to the club, and we're so far away. We finally got to experience it, and of course, it's so much better in person. But we're coming to the Mem, Memorial Stadium. Like it just seems like the quintessential lower league ground. It's just like all cobbled together, kind of like it just looks awesome. Random pirate flag. I cannot wait. What's the gem or some of the gems of the Mem, Charlie? What things should we try to see while we're there?
I think the best bit about it is probably the atmosphere and just the way that it's so different, because you see like a lot of bigger say clubs or like say Bradford and whatever, and they come there and they're thinking like, what is this ground? Because there's so many different sort of ends to it, so many different stands. But I think that's the beauty of it, that it's sort of like a more older sort of ground, but obviously that's what makes it so good. We've had it for years, and I think that's the best bit, just the beauty in the different stands. It does really make the Mem what it is, really.
I can't wait. We've heard so many good things. Everyone's like, oh, that's your first away day. It's perfect, because Bristol's an amazing town. Gloucester Road is an incredible like pub crawl. The vegan food in Bristol is like crazy.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, Bristol Rovers are a huge club for this level. So the atmosphere is going to be crazy. It's going to be packed. It's going to be awesome. So we are so excited. Talking a little bit about football, we're going to do one stupid thing at the end, if you guys are cool with it. But to get back to football, Max, we know you're a Barton out, or you at least were a Barton out guy. I think mainly because of his controversy
off the field stuff.
Yeah, off the pitch. Mm. But I wonder what you make of him now, I guess, when we spoke last, Bristol Rovers were really struggling. They've turned it around, and now you guys are battling. You're in the promotion push. You're in the playoff hunt. What do you make of Barton now?
It's very difficult, because we've almost had to now separate the man and the manager a little bit. Mm. As a manager, back when I spoke to you last, I was saying that he was doing a pretty terrible job. And as a man, with all the off-field controversy, it was equally as bad, with the negative press that was coming to the football club. And for me, I would have suspended him until the verdict of the trial. I think and I still would have done that, knowing that if he was a good manager, I think that just would have been the right thing to do. But yeah, you know, he could be found innocent, he could be found guilty. It's not for us to comment on that until the verdict has gone through the court of law. But the negative press that it's brought to the club, and I think given the severity of what he's been accused of, I would have definitely have suspended him. And if, you know, if I was in charge, even today, I would have probably made that decision to do so. But as a manager, you know, for us as Rovers fans following him through the season, we can't do anything to change the fact that he's in charge, and we have to wait till the courts to make their decision. So it's been a case for me personally of separating the man and the manager and just trying to get behind the team. And as a manager, which is what I am going to talk about, I think he's massively proved himself. He's been backed into a corner. We were struggling down in 19th in the league. Weaker chairman would have sacked him there on the spot and said, you know, this isn't good enough. But while Arcardi stuck by him, obviously saw something we weren't seeing on the training ground and was believing what Barton was telling him. And he was right. He had a fantastic January window, brought in some really good additions, strengthened us, and we're playing some of the best football I've seen in years. So I think credit has to go to him for changing from the five at the back to a more solid 4-2-3-1. And for getting us scoring goals and also keeping clean sheets. And that's ultimately what's seen us climb from 19th to 5th. So, yeah, he deserves tremendous credit as a manager. But I maintain that it's a very difficult thing for a lot of fans at the minute to celebrate this success while there's also this elephant in the room, which we won't really know the full extent of until the court case comes to a head in the summer.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, the results are nice, but the right thing to do is the right thing to do, regardless of the results. And I think that's a good way to look at it. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, even me, you know, there even now you see I'm like bigging him up. But even me at the time when we were struggling, I was the same. I was barring out. I had videos because, like, with my channel, I'm not just a vlogger. I do like all news. So after a game and stuff, and I was the same. And there's people now like quote tweeting me when I had the videos of Barton out. But that's what happens in football. Like, you get proved wrong. You know, Barton was saying even when we were struggling, you know, we're still going to be there or thereabouts or go up. And like Max has alluded to, where he's changed different things, like the formation has completely worked, where he's changed from a back five to a back four. And it's obviously, you know, you're always going to get that in football, you know, with his outside of football life with Barton. And, you know, his inside of football and what he's done off the pitch, etc. You're always going to get, you know, different opinions, and that's the good thing about football. You know, it wouldn't be football if it wasn't for opinions. You know, and it's always going to happen. Like, even now, there's a lot of people that don't go, still haven't been to the Mem since Barton's been in charge. But that's what happens, you know. And people can have their views, and, you know, like me, I was Barton out, but, you know, that I'm fully in, you know, the way that we're playing football, like, you know, like Max said, you know, one of the best I've seen in a long time. But that's what happens, you know. Different opinions are always good to hear, and hear different people's views on you know, on football.
Yeah, and that's a key thing too, because it's a big gray area, right? Because like you said, you're paying Joey Barton to be the manager. You know, he's being paid to do a job, and he's been successful at that job despite there being a lot of doubts. But then again, you know, maybe as a human being, you're not going to spend your time with him, right? You're not going to invite him over to dinner. You're not maybe going to consort with him, right? So it's always tough when people fall on different parts of that spectrum. It's always just really interesting to hear this sort of thing. And, you know, like you said, part of the conversation, the dialogue, is what makes the bigger part of this game so interesting.
So yeah, so let's get out of here on this, boys. Predictions. What do we think? We'll start with you, Charlie, and then we'll go to Max. What do you think is going to happen, Charlie? And what do you think is going to be the final score?
To be fair, I'm pretty confident. Obviously, the last time we played you, like we spoke about, we were, you know, that's not the same team. There's a lot of the Deadwood has left the club, and a lot of, you know, players have changed, etc. So, and also with our home form, I'm not sure if you know this, we're currently 11 home games unbeaten. Hopefully I haven't just messed this up for Saturday, but I'm pretty confident of the way, you know, we can play at home and our form at the moment. So I'm going to go 2-0 to Bristol Rovers.
Wow. You are aware that ever since every four screen match that Shaman and I have gone to, they win. They've never lost.
100% win record.
100, yeah, and they've kept a clean sheet. So just saying, Max. With that information, does that change anything for you, Max?
I am also very confident. I think since January, we're top of the league. And if you started the league in January, but obviously you guys are top of the pile deservedly throughout the whole season. So it's going to be difficult. You're going to be coming to our turf. It's a local rivalry. And I think you need a point to secure promotion on the day. And your boys will want to go out there and do that, at least get a point, secure that promotion, have a bit of a celebration, and then gun for the title in the last two games. So I think you'll definitely be up for it, but so will we, because we know that we need to win three games to get automatics. We're the informed team. I don't think anyone wants to be playing us right now, not with the likes of Elliot Anderson doing absolute crazy things on the ball, and the team playing as well as they are. I think we're the team to beat at the minute. So I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. And I think we'll cause you problems. I think Oldham, who are fighting for their lives down the bottom, caused you enough problems in the 2-0 win. They didn't make it easy for you, and I think we won't either. So I'm going to be confident, and I'm going to say 2-1 to Bristol Rovers.
2-1, hey. Wow. All right. So, all right, two losses so predicted here.
Yeah, we're not leaving the men with the promotion. That's the prediction.
That's right. Are you going to be on for the women's match after?
Yeah, I'll be going.
Nice, awesome. Max, are you going to be there?
I will definitely be there, yep.
Let's go. Oh, that's great to hear, because, yeah, we're worried too. Like, we're hoping there's a big turnout. We're going to stay. You have to leave, though, right? We have to leave for like an hour or so?
I believe the terrace, I don't know if there's a home end, away end, or if it's mixed. So we may even be able to watch the game with you if you come out.
That would be awesome.
I'm not 100% sure on that, though, so don't quote me on that. But I believe the women's games are a little bit less segregated. But we'll see. It might be different because of the men's game was just before. But yeah, the kickoff is 6:45, I believe. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a break. And then, yeah, I'm sure the bars will be open.
I was gonna say, we go grab a pint and then come back and support the women.
And Max, we're going to be quoting you all over town on our scooter. Yeah. Just yelling Max quotes.
Max said this.
He said
Max,
this. So it must
Max
be
said
true.
We could sit together. Max said we could rush the pitch if we win. Max Alderson. All right, guys, thank you both so much for giving up your time to hang out with us.
Really appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. Awful luck on, when is that? Saturday. We're all our days, or we have no idea what day it is. We're so messed up. But anyway, awful luck on Saturday. But I do actually wish you guys luck, because I think this could be developed into a fun rivalry, at least on our end. You might think, a little four screen, we don't care about that. But for us, it's a big deal. And for everything we hear, Bristol Rovers away is a great, great away day. So
to experience it.
It'd be awesome if we both go up to League One together, and we can continue this chat next year, my friends.
Absolutely. I hope so.
I hope so too. Charlie, where can we find you?
Yeah, at One Ravers Vlogs on Twitter. Well, like you said, on the YouTube channel, One Ravers Vlogs as well.
Perfect. And Max, where can we find the Gas Cast and the Max Cast?
You can find the Gas Cast podcast on iTunes and on Spotify. Just search for Gas Cast, or go to gascastpodcast.co.uk.
Oh, brilliant, guys.
And don't forget Bartlett's, where you can find all of Max Alderson's quotes.
Yeah, that's right. Guys, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. Right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. All right, Shimmy. Nathan and Sham, Hotel Shimmy here. We're going to close out here.
Hotel Motel.
Put me in. It's about 10 in the p.m. Here in London. We got some Naked Attraction to watch, so we got to get going.
Nightlife in London, baby. Can't be beat.
All right, so I guess this pod will come out Thursday morning, because we're still not finished yet here. But anyway, whatever. We're finishing it, though, now on Wednesday night.
We're exhausted, but in the best way.
In the best way. We have had the absolute, absolute best time so far. And there's more to come, baby. We got so many more days of fun coming up. So this is awesome. But until then, let's get out of here, Shimmy. Up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR. One more point, baby. We need
one more point. And you know, we gotta praise his name, brother.
Dale, yeah.
One more point, baby. Thank you all so much for listening.
so awesome meeting you on Monday, and we'll meet more of you on Saturday. Can't wait to see you Saturday.
I just in the UK, baby.
In the UK, mate, isn't it? You know what it is. Have you got your higher up proms here?
Are you an MP?
Pardon me, sir. Are you an MP?
Is this the BBC?
Oh.
Ta-ta.
Look out for the hump. Mind the hump crossing. All right, let's get out of here. Bye, everybody. Bye.